M2 Entertainment proudly presents The Green Room. The Green Room is dedicated to sharing the wealth of knowledge from a broad selection of practicing professionals from the motion picture industry. Joining us this week in The Green Room, we welcome Hollywood editor Sally Menke. Since 1984, Sally Menke has acquired over 20 feature film credits. A frequent collaborator with director Quentin Tarantino, she has worked with Quentin on every one of his films from Reservoir Dogs to Inglourious Basterds. Sally has also been nominated for 2 Academy Awards for Best Film Editing for her work on Pulp Fiction and Inglourious Basterds. Solomon from M2 Entertainment was lucky enough to sit down with Sally a few days before her untimely passing.
Hey Sally, it's Solomon here from M2 Entertainment. What's going on?
Well, actually, I was just cooking 22 pounds of meat, if you can believe that.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it's the Jewish holiday tomorrow. I'm not Jewish, but I'm cooking for my friend. I'm actually cooking 50 pounds of meat. But she's having 60 people over, so I'm cooking for her.
Great. Well, all the best with that, Sally. Now, before we begin, we just want to say a big thank you for taking the time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it. And when I was doing a bit of background reading into you and some of your work, I was actually a little surprised to find out that you worked on the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film.
And what Quentin said is, you know, because Uma on Kill Bill was like, well, who are you going to get to cut, like, all these action scenes? And he goes, you know, I have the best editor. She cut Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And Uma was like, oh, my God. Is that? She's going to work with me forever. Don't worry.
Great. Well, we'll get started then, Sally, if that's all right.
Okay.
Cool. Now, the first question is, what was it about being a film editor that got you first interested in the profession?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what happened is that both my parents were professors, and they taught at the college level. And so I actually grew up not even knowing that editing was, you know, I'd watch movies or TV, and I didn't even know what editing was. I just thought magically you went from a close-up to a long shot. You know, I just had no concept of it. So, but when I went to my first year of college, I was studying psychology. And what I liked, and it was behavioral psychology.
Yep.
So what I was interested in is what people did to communicate without words as well, you know, passively. So then I went to Emory University in Atlanta and met a guy, and he said, you know, wow, let's go to Hampshire College and study film. I went, wow, okay, let's do it. And I went to Hampshire, and I realized that this is what I wanted to do. I loved it for a lot of different reasons, and one of which was I felt like I could study human behavior and actually have it affect people rather than, you know, on a big screen rather than in a book, you know, which is all really important being in a book and a college professor, but I just wanted to do it in a kind of bigger scale, you know, which, you know, at this time in my life, I feel like, wow, what people need. Okay, that's a separate thing. Anyhow, so I kind of just fell in love with it. I went to NYU and I did a little bit of everything. I directed, I did sound. And actually, when I graduated from college, I started recording sound, and I got to this point where I went, and I loved editing the whole time when I was in college. This guy, Larry Silk, who was an editor who cut Pumpy and Iron, kind of took me under his wing, and I was really fascinated, and it was the most intriguing to me when I was in college. To be able to put two images together and create impact, you know, was more fascinating to me than actually directing. So it was just so powerful, the tool I saw. I mean, I cut a couple of documentaries when I was in college, and I realized that putting two abstract images together, it was just such a powerful tool or expression or literary expression. Anyhow, then I got out and started, you know, editing, and that was my favorite thing.
Fantastic. Now, our next question is, as an artist, what is it that you'd look for in a script before committing your services to that project?
You know, first of all, story. The script. I mean, I just want it to be a compelling story. And it doesn't have to be one genre. It can be any genre as long as it's compelling. on some level. And generally, I find that I'm more smitten with character-driven scripts than, you know, flashy kind of explosion films. Although I love that too. And when it's a combination, like a lot of times what Quentin does, it's like, oh, this is glorious.
Now, when you're preparing yourself to work on a new film, what are some of the things that you do?
Well, it depends on what you mean by preparing, because a lot of times, for instance, Kill Bill, Quentin walked over with a box of 50 films that he wanted me to watch, and or maybe it was 30. Maybe I'm just exaggerating at this point, but 30 is a lot, too. And, you know, and we start, once I know what his project is, he has a theater as well, and we start watching films, and not for any other reason, but just to get immersed in a culture. Because his films tend to revolve around a genre. You know, every time we do a film, it's kind of either his own style or, you know, a World War II film that with his style superimposed on it, or, you know, a Hong Kong or action film. Or so generally we start with Quentin. I start early on. Sometimes he brings me into his library, his music library, and plays music for me and says, this is when blah, blah, blah happens, or this is when blah, blah, blah happens. And then sometimes that ends up, most of the time that ends up being the music that we use, but sometimes, you know, we change it. But definitely I start on board full time, first day of shooting.
All right. Now, as an editor, are there any rules or principles that you follow when telling a story?
You know, it's a yes and no question. I mean, answer. Because there are things that you have to do to not confuse an audience, you know. But in that same breath, I would say that sometimes you want to abstract those ideas. You know, like the idea of crossing the 180. I mean, generally, you kind of want to be aware of that so people know where they are. But I cross it all the time for impact. So yes, there is something, a classical approach to editing that you have in the back of your head. But do I adhere to it strictly? Absolutely not.
Okay, fair enough. Now, having worked with Quentin on his debut film, Reservoir Dogs, what was that experience like for you working with a first-time director?
Well, I've worked with a lot of first-time directors, but with Quentin, you know, and everybody is a little different in how they get their feet wet.
Yeah.
But, and by the time I had worked with Quentin, I had already done, I guess 3 or 4 features, I can't remember right now, but a lot of small films and many documentaries. I worked with Ken Burns, actually, on a film, and did a lot of PBS documentaries and things like that. So I had a lot of film experience under my belt. But Quentin, he's such, film is in every cell of his body. So that it was just exciting from day one. It was thrilling to hear him, you know, express himself and talk about what he wants out of scenes. And it was from the very first day we worked together, it was like, it was magic. It was just magic. He knew exactly what he wanted. He's an amazing filmmaker.
Oh, without a doubt. He is an amazing filmmaker. And keeping on the topic of Quentin, how has your working relationship with him evolved in the nearly 2 decades that you've been cutting his films?
You know, well, let's see, he's gone through 2 pregnancies with me. They weren't his children, it was my husband's children. So he's been through my hormonal issues. No, I'm totally kidding. But our relationship has, you know, it's evolved into a completely kind of organically tacit understanding of his style, and he understands my style. And we also, of course, trust each other implicitly. But what's funny about that is that we kind of had that from the beginning. I mean, we got to know each other pretty quickly on Reservoir Dogs, and it's remained the same since then. And I mean, it's kind of interesting because we just bonded immediately. And that bond has remained to this day.
The Green Room will be right back after this short message. M2 Entertainment is a film finance and production company. If you have a script that you'd like to submit, visit us at www.m2e.net.
Now, using Inglourious Basterds as an example, give us an insight into that director-editor relationship. You know, how did you work with Quentin? Did you argue? Did you debate? How were those decisions made?
You know, we never argue. It's kind of amazing. I mean, we might like dig our heels in and get a little pissy every once in a while, which everybody does. But generally, we never argue, but we do debate. And it's really wonderful because it's a creative, it's all to make the best film possible. That's what it's all about. And we really leave our egos at the door. And we experiment and try a lot of different things. It's amazing. It's an amazing collaboration, too. And I'm very fortunate, seriously, to work with him. I just think he is a remarkable voice. And And because of that, I he's just thrilling to work with. And what we do, and we experiment a lot. I mean, not necessarily with the placement of scenes, but with how we interpret scenes. And it's really fun. Although he has he always has a very, very solid idea of what he wants to do with scenes. So that makes it easier too, because he knows so much what he wants, and I actually understand the rhythms that he's trying to set forth in his scenes. So we're able to get to that place where we can experiment or leave it out at how it is. It's really wonderful.
I think it's pretty cool that you both have that understanding and bond when you work together. And I don't think a person needs to look any farther than the Inglourious Basterds DVD, where there's this fantastic little special feature, which I'm sure you're aware of, called The High Sallys. Now, what's the story behind this?
You know, I think it started on Kill Bill.
Yeah.
It may have started earlier. Can't remember, but what happened is that because I had a little kid, I had two little kids on Kill Bill, I couldn't go on location. So Quentin would go, "Would you please say hi to my lonely editor in LA?" And then it just started this whole thing.
Well, that's very sweet of him and the rest of the crew. Now, moving on, you've worked with some of the great directors of our time, from Oliver Stone to Lee Tamahori to Quentin Tarantino, of course. Now, how do you as an editor adjust to their individual styles of storytelling?
Well, you know, that is the job of an editor, is to be able to adjust to the needs of the director. And really, simply put, that's what it is. We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to listen to them and then help them and maybe, you know, mold a little bit. So that's a really, really big and important part of being an editor. Is being able to listen to their wishes and their style.
All right, now, of all the films that you've been involved with, which was the toughest to edit and why?
You know, I actually think, I can say every single film had a challenge here and there, you know, a corner that we had to get out of, a idea that maybe wasn't quite, you know, not thought out, but an idea that somehow didn't fit into the whole picture. But I would say that the most challenging overall are actually the documentaries, because you have a lot of footage about whatever it may be, and then you have to mold it into a story that's compelling. So you don't have a script beforehand. Those are the most challenging, and they're a lot of fun.
Cool. Now, looking back at your career, Sally, from when you first began to where you are right now, what's one of the biggest lessons that you've learned in your career as an editor, a lesson that you'd pass on to any other aspiring editor?
Yeah, mainly towards aspiring editors. I feel at the beginning of your career, you know, and I've said this many times, unfortunately, so people might have heard it over and over again from me, but, you know, at the beginning of your career, I think you have to keep your overhead low, because keeping your overhead low And it's kind of a weird thing because some people live really outside of their means. But I did Reservoir Dogs for $300 a week. If I had a huge mortgage, you know, I would have never been able to even take the film. And it started my whole career. So for me, when I talk to college students and whatnot, I just say, you know, don't feel compelled to take, you know, the biggest salary, and keep your overhead low so that you can take the jobs that are most interesting, because a lot of times they are the low budget films.
The Green Room will be right back after this short message. The Green Room is dedicated to sharing the wealth of knowledge from a broad selection of practicing industry professionals, with interviews from directors, writers, producers, actors, and more added weekly. You'll always have a reason to keep coming back to The Green Room.
These days, there are a lot of easy-to-use editing programs out there. What are your thoughts when it comes to filmmakers taking on that editing responsibility and doing it themselves?
I think it's fun. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, look at Robert Rodriguez, good grief, he's a fantastic editor, you know, and he cuts his own movies, so that's good. And, you know, sometimes you need a person to give another perspective, but sometimes you don't, and it really depends on the director.
All right, fair enough. Well, I guess then progressing from that point, what advice would you give to any director when it comes to working with their editor?
Be patient on the first edit, or the first cut of the film. Because, you know, the first cut of the film is just always terrible. Because it's not their vision, it's the editor's vision for the most part. And so they really, and I've been okay with that, like Quentin and I, you know, are used to each other, so there's no problem. But I've heard so many editors' horror stories about having put a cut together and the director wants to project it or the studio wants to project it, and it's their first cut, so of course it doesn't include, you know, their ideas. So, you know, there's no mind reading involved in here. It has to be a collaboration where everybody works together to get the best film.
Now, just on your point of film being a collaboration, how does it work in a much larger sense when you're working on a big budget studio pick and you've got all these different people to please and to make happy? How does it work? How do all the different parties come together to make that work?
Well, that is it is in fact a very difficult process because there's a lot of people involved. I've been really lucky with Quentin because it's just me and Quentin and Harvey and a couple of outside people, but generally we're all on the same page. But when you take a filmmaker and go into a big studio, there's always a lot of considerations, you know, how big the budget is. If you're working on a $160 million film, all of a sudden they have to make $300 million just to break even. And, you know, then you have to think about the rating of the film, so you have to be careful about what you include and don't include. And then there's the marketing, you know. All of a sudden they want it to be a little bit more of a love story. So you have to actually kind of be really flexible. And you have to be able to work with everybody so that they get the best film, you know, in terms of a big studio that they can. It's really important. It's really important to consider all the factors and realize that the studio actually has to make their money back.
Yeah, that's fair. And I also think it's good that you've brought attention to the business side of the film and what it needs to do financially. Now, moving on, what film do you personally admire the editing in?
Raging Bull. I can't get off it. I just think it's so brilliantly edited.
Cool. Okay, now, what do you see as the biggest, most common mistake that films make in terms of editing and crafting their story together?
I actually don't know. There is no one single mistake. You know, every film has some kind of lump somewhere. Yep. And I don't think there is one. I really can't say that there's one common mistake.
Now, what's the best piece of advice you were ever given with regards to this industry?
You know, I read that, and I really never got any advice, which is funny. Oh, the other thing I wanted to say back about another question is early on, you know, if you're going to be an editor, you have to decide how you're going to approach the job, because you know, I decided that I wanted to edit documentaries and then possibly move into features from there, because a lot of people decide they're going to do assistant work and then get to be an editor. But I only assisted once in my whole career. So, on one television series. So that's also maybe a piece of advice, is just to decide how you're going to approach your working. Do you want to just work in a studio system? Do you want to work for independent people? You know, do you want, you know, what kind of films do you want to chase?
Cool. That's a great bit of advice again, Sally. Now, if there was one thing that you could change about Hollywood, what would it be and why?
Actually, the budgets, quite frankly. I think the budgets are getting too big.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that, of course, affects everybody's salary. But I think that the budgets are just too big. And I keep feeling like the days when, you know, films cost less, it made it so that more risk could be taken. It's harder to take risks when you put so much money on the line.
It's actually a very interesting point you make there, Sally. Now, we're actually down to our last question, which is, what does the future hold for Sally Menke?
I don't know. I'm going to be working with Quentin, I think, March of next year or something like that, July. I'm not sure when. And hopefully we'll be doing many more. Just got to keep working.
Well, that brings us to the end of our interview today, Sally. Thanks again for taking the time to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you.
And we all look forward to your next screen credit.
Me too. I can't wait, actually. Quentin just got back from Venice yesterday. So I can't wait to start hearing the news.
The Green Room and its interviews are the property of M2E Proprietary Limited.